Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Melanie C., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Thursday, September 27, 2018, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. And today we are reading from the Big Book. We're in the chapter, The Family Afterwards, reading on page 124, starting with paragraph 3. I'm going to read through three paragraphs today. That paragraph begins with, it is possible to dig up past misdeeds, and ends with, long time to outgrow that serious handicap, on the bottom of 125. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Elena A.M., the 12 Traditions, Laura A., and reading the text today is Liat T.D. and Cheryl A. Thank you so much for your service. The share ID numbers for yesterday's 10 a.m. meeting is 11965, 11,965, and that will be for Wednesday, September 26, 2018, 10 a.m. meeting. And then the meeting that just happened this morning, that would be Thursday, September 27, 2018, the 7 a.m. meeting, that share ID number is 11969, 11,969. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose: to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Elena A.M. to read the 12 steps.
Hi, this is Elena A.M. I'm from Pennsylvania. And here are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. We're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for this service opportunity, and I pass.
Thank you, Elena A.M. I will now ask Laura A. to please read the 12 traditions.
Good morning. This is Laura A., recovered compulsive overeater in New Hampshire. The 12 traditions. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants, they do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is a spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks for letting me do service. I pass.
Thank you, Laura A. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book in the chapter The Family Afterwards on page 124, paragraph 3, and it begins with, "It is possible to dig up past misdeeds," and ends at the bottom of 125 with, "Time to outgrow that serious handicap." And I'll ask Liat T.D. to start reading those paragraphs and open up our discussion today. Good morning again, Liat. Thank you.
Good morning, Melanie. Thank you. Liat T.D. from Northern California. It is possible to dig up past misdeeds so they become a blight, a veritable plague. For example, we know of situations in which the alcoholic or his wife have had love affairs. In the first flush of spiritual experience, they forgave each other and drew closer together. The miracle of reconciliation was at hand. Then, under one provocation or another, the aggrieved one would unearth the old affair and angrily cast its ashes about. Few of us have had these growing pains, and they hurt a great deal. Husbands and wives have sometimes been obliged to separate for time until new perspectives, new victory over hurt pride would be reworn. In most cases, the alcoholic survived his ordeal without relapse, but not always. So we think that unless some good and useful purpose is to be served, past occurrences should not be discussed. We, Family of Alcoholics Anonymous, keep few skeletons in the closet. Everyone knows about the other's alcoholic troubles. This is a condition which in ordinary life would produce untold grief. There might be scandalous gossip, laughter at the expense of other people, and tendency to take advantage of intimate information. Among us, these are rare occurrences. We do talk about each other a great deal, but we almost invariably temper such talk by a spirit of love and tolerance. Another principle we observe carefully is that we do not relate intimate experiences of another person unless we are sure he would approve. We find it better, when possible, to stick to our own stories. A man may criticize or laugh at himself, and it would affect others very favorably. But criticism or ridicule coming from another often produces a contrary effect. Members of a family should watch such matters carefully, for one careless, inconsiderate remark has been known to raise the very devil. We alcoholics are sensitive people. It takes some of us a long time to outgrow that serious handicap. And I apologize for my reading, but a few paragraphs have been something that are on my mind lately, because I get to talk to a lot of people, and especially people that went through that first flash of spiritual experience where they went through the steps, you know, like we all say, like, your hair is on fire, you know, and so they got to that first flush and they feel this tremendous experience, freedom from food. They're no longer in the food, they're losing weight, and there is this amazing experience. But there is, you know, if this was enough, going through the steps once, and I don't get to be done. You know, this is not an overnight matter. This is a lifetime, a process, and the period of reconstruction is long. I am leaking. You know, I am here because I have a mental obsession. I have a problem, emotional problem, and I need to develop this emotional sobriety. And it takes, for me, you know, and I'm a slow learner, and I'm rebellious, and very sensitive, and so it takes me a long time to, you know, emotionally grow, develop that emotional sobriety, you know. So, you know, I find myself, you know, wandering off. I have this mind that wanders off and it leaks. I leak all day, all this spiritual wonderfulness leaks. And so I need to get back to a place of, you know, connection to God. And that's why I'm so grateful for the steps that are the steps of growth, which are 11 and 10, 11, 12 on a daily basis, where I, you know, continue to develop that conscious contact with God and come to a place of love and tolerance. And that's, you know, I'm wild, you know, and I came in wild. I didn't know how to contain myself. Tell me when my time's off, because I'm not 10 minutes off today. So, I'll finish with that, I guess, that I'm just, there is no boundaries in me. I'm just wild and out of control. And that's how it was with food, and that's how it was with my emotions. And this program teaches me to temper myself, to have some boundaries around Liat and her feelings and her outbursts and what I say and what I think and what I do. And so, I'll finish. So, you know, and I temper it, and the result is love, and with love and tolerance. And that's what I reflect more today, and hopefully continue to do that through the steps. And I love you all, and I'll pass. Thank you for letting me be there.
Thanks, Liat TD. Thanks for getting us started. This morning we are reading from the Big Book, and we are on the chapter of the family afterwards. Reading on page 124, paragraph 3, I'm going to unpack three paragraphs today. Paragraph number 3 starts with, it is possible to dig up past misdeeds, and then ends at the bottom of the third paragraph on page 125. it takes some of us a long time to outgrow that serious handicap. I'm going to open up now to other folks that want to comment their experience, strength, and hope on those three paragraphs.
Ginger T.
Hi, Ginger.
Liz T.
Liz.
Sarah N.
Sarah N.
Stephanie
N. Somebody, oh, Lynn S. Hi, Lynn.
Mary Jane Z.
Mary Jane Z. Let's stop with that, and then we'll come back to some more. Okay, so I have Ginger C, Liz T. Is it Sarah T, Lynn S, and Mary Jane Z? Hi, Ginger.
Hi, good morning, Mel. Can you hear me?
I can.
Okay, great. Thank you so much, and thank you for your service. Ginger C, recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado. And I just love this paragraph. We families of Alcoholics Anonymous keep few skeletons in the closet. You know, Harlan often shares the four impediments to God because as an addict, my most important thing is that I lack power. I'm powerless. And the only thing that's going to keep me safe and protected is staying close and connected to a higher power, which I choose to call God. So those four impediments, the second one is a secret you will not tell. And when I was in Virginia Beach and I heard him share that, it was such a tap in. It was like, no wonder you keep eating. You've got a secret and you've got to share it. You know, if we don't share it, we'll wear it. We will pick that fork back up and we will be eating. I've got to keep this pipe to God clean. And thank God it's just a daily reprieve. And we do this, we practice over and over, not for perfection. Perfection's a sickness. It's to create habits. And the more I do it, it just becomes rote. It just becomes simple. I just know what I'm doing. You know, but the ego is about edging God out and trying to convince me these delusional thoughts that live in my head. My big book friend always says, Ginger, think below your thoughts. But we're so fortunate with this book and these clear directions because 86 gives me a nightly review. And two things in that paragraph, love and tolerance and these secrets. And then I go to 86 and I look at my nightly review. Have we kept something to ourselves which should be discussed with another person at once? I have a really good chance to keep this pipe open to God if I'm following these precise directions. And then the second sentence after says, were we kind and loving toward all, even these enemies, these hard relationships? Were we kind and loving toward all? So keep practicing. I'm practicing along with you. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Ginger C. Liz T, you're next, and then Sarah will come after you.
Good morning. This is Liz T, a recovered compulsive overeater in Minnesota. Can you hear me okay?
Sure.
Okay. And I just want to apologize to the moderator. I did not check in 5 minutes early, and you know, I'm reminded in our morning prayers that I am undisciplined. So we let God discipline us. And so I just appreciate everyone being here. And I just wanted to own that. I needed to check in 5 minutes early, and I didn't do that this morning. And I am still undisciplined. I'm recovered and not cured. And I like how this reading talks about, you know, we're going through growing pains. And that's what I feel like in my recovery is that I have this precious gift of the food obsession having been lifted. As long as I stay close to this program and work it every day and work in my steps 10, 11, and 12, and I had a sponsee call this morning and was really powerful, and I'm still kind of floating from that experience. And then I had a conversation with my husband this morning about some things going on at my workplace. And I'm still kind of on a high from that. And it's kind of like whatever that next high is or what's going on, I can get distracted from the real work. Like I had an obligation this morning, and I can get distracted by these other clamors, you know, these other worldly clamors. I love the part, too, about the gossip. You know, I think about what my life was like before the 12 steps. And a lot of my therapy and relief of buildup of human emotion was either in the food or gossip. I would call my mom and unload on her whatever was going on in my life, and we would commiserate and psychoanalyze everybody else for a long time on the phone, family members, whoever. they must be doing it because of this, must be doing it because of that. And it's like, once again, that was all a distraction of what I really needed to be doing in my own work, in my own side of the street, because it gave me a temporary sense of relief to focus on somebody else. And I'm finding that in my workplace right now. We need to hire someone, and I'm kind of riled up with that. There's uncertainty with who will we hire. Will it be the right fit? Are they going to be, you know, a good employee? All of those fears. And so I have some tense steps I need to work through as that stuff is bubbling up, because I'm not God. And my business, the place I work has a higher power, and it's not me. I even have a prayer for my relationship ideals with my business. God is my employer. So today might be a good day for me to go back and revisit that, because when things are smooth sailing, sometimes I forget, you know, and it's in the pain and the challenges when I really grow and grow spiritually and grow up in this program. You know, I'm like a toddler growing up right alongside my tween and my grade school kids. So grateful to be here and grateful for everyone's patience with me this morning. I'll pass.
Thank you, Liz T. Sarah T., you're next, and then Lynn.
Hey, good morning, Melanie. It's actually Sarah N. Can I be heard?
Thank you. You can. Thank you for that.
Awesome. No worries. Thanks. Thanks so much for your service. Welcome to all the newcomers. Sarah N., grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Northern California. This is just so apropos for me this morning because what I heard was like, one comment can really, you know, affect somebody, you know, just that one little comment, how it can hurt someone. And often that person is me. So I'm newly recovered, and I'm at a temp job for a couple of weeks. And I noticed yesterday an old pattern, you know, cropped up, and that was to complain about something. It was happened to be my neighbor and their barking dog yesterday to a coworker. And I remember, you know, I had this pattern of just, you know, this gossip, just talking or complaining and taking someone hostage. And, you know, I can think of my coworkers often as like my work family. And even though I'm in a different workplace, it's that same, you know, behavior. And I'm so grateful that I do have that nightly review. That, you know, well, I even knew it almost as soon as it had happened, but I didn't, you know, when it I was wrong, I didn't promptly admit it. And so then, you know, at the end of the night, there it was staring me in the face. And I just, you know, felt more uncomfortable this morning. It's like, I just can't wait to get to work to make amends, you know, for that, because that's a behavior, you know, there's a living amends, and then there's just like, hey, you know, that was not very considerate of me to, you know, use you to complain about anything, really. So wonderful paragraph, just so many treasures in the readings, and grateful for all who share and are of service, and with that I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Sarah N. Lynn S., you're next, and then Mary Jane Z. Hi, Lynn.
Hi, Melanie. Good morning. Vision for you. My name is Lynn S., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater in Toronto, Canada. And what really struck me was it's talking about a spirit of love and tolerance. And then it says, we alcoholics are sensitive people. And it just strikes me as so much in program does about how opposite that those are. You know, I'm a sensitive person. If you say something to me, if you look at me the wrong way, if you don't look at me, if you acknowledge me, if you don't acknowledge me, God knows what. You know, if did I read that text right? What do you mean when you hung up and didn't say goodbye? Like, what does all that mean? You know, and going that is so opposite than looking at the world through the lens of love and tolerance. And this is what always strikes me about program, is working the steps, having the food down, having the binge behaviors, gives me an opportunity to connect with God. Connecting with God gives me the opportunity to have my life transformed, because I can't change me. I've tried as hard as I could. I can't do it. But by working the steps the way they're outlined in the book. By having the food down, by connecting with God, it gives God the opportunity to change me and to let me see the world with love and tolerance. And I always catch that in hindsight. I go, wow, I was nice to that person at the knit store yesterday. And it just came. When I tried to be nice to the person at the knit store, I got a $60 parking ticket because I was trying to be nice because I should be nice, blah, blah, blah. My way doesn't work. Putting my life, my thoughts, my words in God's hands does. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Linus. Mary Jane C., you're next, but I wanted to say that we are on page 124 of the big book in the chapter of the family afterwards. Starting with paragraph 3, it is possible to dig up past misdeeds. And we're going to read through 3 paragraphs today, and we've been sharing on those. And it ends with outgrow that serious handicap. So after Mary Jane, I'd like to open it up for others to comment on those paragraphs. Hi, Mary Jane. Thanks for the moment.
Yeah, good morning. Can you hear me?
I sure can.
Oh, great. This is Mary Jane Z, a grateful, recovered, compulsive eater in Kentucky. And when I listened to the reading this morning, the first thing that popped into my head was, oh, it's like being an archaeologist. I was an archaeologist. I've always been fascinated by it, and I had the tools before of judgment, control, fear, and they were like sledgehammers and big giant backhoes, and that's how I went about digging up the past and looking at it and working the steps. I'm not a renegade archaeologist anymore. I'm actually, it's a craft. And I've, through the steps and the guidance of my fellows, I've got the tiny little tools of the little paintbrush and the little pick. And I can look at things with love and tolerance. And the other thing that came to mind was discretion is the better part of valor. And you're only as sick as your secrets. And it's like, how can those two live inside me? And it's by working the steps and coming into alignment with my higher power. And I'm reminded of the line on page 87 where it says, where is it here? It says, being still inexperienced and having just made conscious contact with God, it is not probable that we are going to be inspired at all times. But by working the steps and, yeah, I've got fellows I can do 10 steps with and get some feedback on. I'm able to live in between those two opposites. So with that, I pass. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Mary Jane Z. The lines are now open for others to comment on those 3 paragraphs, starting at paragraph 3 on page 124. Who would like to comment?
Andrea S., Arizona.
Stephanie. Andrea S. Stephanie. What was your list initial, Steph?
P.
I'm hoping you said P. We'll move on. We'll catch you later. Who else?
Lisa J.R.
Lisa J.R. Okay, I think we got everybody for this round. So, Andrea.
Robin S. T.
Okay, Robin.
Marilyn T.
Marilyn, we're going to scoot a few more in here. Okay. Okay, Andrea S., Stephanie P., Lisa J.R., Robin P., and Marilyn T. Hi, Andrea.
Good morning. Andrea S. from Arizona, recovering compulsive overeater. Boy, always being in the right place at the right time. I needed to hear this. Unless some good and useful purpose is to be served, past occurrences should not be discussed. And what I noticed about myself is that if I'm not in a space of spiritual fitness, then my pride will exert itself. My ego will come forth, and I will say something about something that's happened in the past. And it's almost like I derive a temporary pleasure And it's not that I derive pleasure from hurting another person. It's that I feel like I need to be heard and listened to, but the person that I'm speaking to isn't the person who can best hear and listen to me, because they're the ones that are going to be injured. And that's when I need to turn to someone else in the program, because my oldest baggage involves never being heard or listened to and feeling like I didn't matter. And so in a current relationship where I know I really do matter, that old pattern recently reasserted itself, and I felt like I didn't matter. And so the more I wasn't listened to, the more my ego got fired up. And so I really needed to hear that if I don't ask for what I need from someone, I'm not going to get it. And if I'm not getting my needs met in the present, then I am very likely to go back and dredge something up that will basically put that other person in as miserable person as in as miserable a feeling state as I'm in. And that's just such spiritual bankruptcy. I know I'm talking in circles and kind of roundabout, but I've really been hurting this week because I did something that I will have to make amends for, and said something, and I will clean it up. But a careless, inconsiderate remark has been known to raise the devil, and that's exactly what it was, a careless, inconsiderate remark. And I'm, you know, I'm responsible for everything that comes out of my mouth. So my job is to stay connected, joined at the hip, joined body to body with my higher power, so that I can rein in my wildness. I love that the first person who shared talked about how wild she was. And I feel that way about myself. My mouth is a wild woman. And only God can rein me in. I can't sit on the buckboard and rein my mouth in. It's just wild. And so that containment is what God can provide for me. If I keep the image in mind that my God is caring and compassionate and sensitive with other people, and I really don't want to harm them. Thank you, Andrea S. from Arizona.
Thank you. Stephanie P. and then Lisa J.R. Hi, Stephanie.
Hi, Stephanie T., compulsive overeater. Can you hear me?
Mm-hmm, I can.
Okay, I did not want to share today. My sponsor told me to share, so it's the only reason I'm sharing. I really relate, actually, to this portion of the big book, because last night, since I'm not recovered, I had a very a spontaneous, very diseased thought, and I sent a joke to somebody else. And then in the morning, I realized that I never should have sent anything. I never even should have contacted the person. And I tried to make, you know, a text amends, as trying to keep it as simple as possible, calling myself out, and that was all. And I know I did it imperfectly. And, and I got back something nice, and I'm just really grateful to this program, and I'm just so grateful to realize that my craziness, and that when I have a thought, the best thing to do is to not do anything. And I'm just really grateful that at least for today, I learned that lesson, I didn't harm another human being. Thank you for letting me share, Stephanie T.
Thank you, Stephanie T. Lisa J.R., you're next, and then Robin P.
Good morning, Melanie and everybody. Thank you, Lisa J.R. Grateful, recovered for today. I knew in my heart of hearts when I came in program that it wasn't going to be so, but I really wish that, you know, I got done with this process and began to sponsor and began to work with others really vigorously, that, you know, I'd be different. I would be different with the fairy dust, the pixie dust that our fellow talks about being sprinkled on us. I thought that was the pixie dust step. But I realized I had to roll my sleeves up and work this thing every single day because it became a lifestyle. It became a way of life, not just a one and done thing. And, you know, I came in here and you guys lovingly taught me that I wasn't the tough guy I thought I was. I was filled with fear. So in the course of my 55, 56 years, I had a warehouse full of wrongs, resentments, character defects of others. So God forbid you stepped on my toes or on the toes of someone I love. I could go way back to that warehouse of wrongs and I could zing you right back. I could hurt you more than you hurt me. And I lived that way. And I was, you know, my life got smaller and smaller and darker as the years went on. And, you know, you've taught me how to love, the way God would have me love. I had infinite God in such a finite little tiny box that I didn't even think he was interested in helping me with this, that I should be able, with the enlightenment that I had, to do it myself. But it wasn't until there was full surrender and, you know, the shame was gone when I realized that I'm sick, and I'm not flawed like a psychopath, as this book tells me. And so, you know, this journey, I'm glad I got this reminder today that, you know, that I have to keep working, that I have to keep plowing forward, that this is a process, and it's only a 24-hour stay of execution for me. You know, if I don't wake up, like somebody said, I can't stay clean on yesterday's shower. And I'm so grateful for the wisdom that you all have taught me. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Lisa J.R. Robin P., you're next, and then Marilyn T. Hi, Robin.
Thank you so much, Melanie. Hi, everybody, and thank you for your service, Melanie. And I'm Robin. I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater, and I'm just so grateful to be on these meetings. I just love them. So, you know, I was thinking about how many years I was in the disease. And then I remembered when I became recovered, I thought, oh, great. Well, okay. Everything's brand new. You know, I'm a new person and everything's just going to be all different. And, you know, it's the road, trudging that road and one step at a time, one day at a time. And, you know, how many years was I in the disease? And now I'm in recovery for almost 3 years. And it takes a long time to, you know, heal some of these patterns and, you know, some of these ruts that I had built and got really comfortable in, and the willingness to have faith. And, you know, I love in the Big Book where it says we must have faith. I'm paraphrasing, but we must have faith 24/7 or we perish. You know, and this is a faith that works. And I've been so conditioned to be in fear and resentment, to go right to it. Like, just like that's the old neurotransmitter tracks, you know, something happens and I go, oh, no, you know, and I had a lot of child abuse the way a lot of people have. And they just seems to, you know, sometimes that PTSD kicks in and I get to work my faith. And I feel like I'm going through that again. I go through it probably every day, you know, choosing faith over fear. That's what I can do to be a blessing to God and my fellows, is to choose faith over fear. And I get to be practicing that wholeheartedly now and one day at a time. And I can't ever rest on my laurels, you know. And it's a daily 24-hour
Robin.
Cover.
Oh, sorry, I thought we lost you.
Oh, you really? Oh, dear. Can you hear me now?
I thought it was cut. Mm-hmm, I can. I was cutting in and out, I thought. But you're okay now.
Oh, my goodness. Can you hear me now?
Mm-hmm.
Is that better?
Mm-hmm. We'll see. Yeah. Sorry,
okay, sorry. Wow. Darn. I hope this is, is this good now?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good. So I just know that I get to remember and have the humility to remember that when I'm selfish, self-seeking, dishonest, resentful, or fearful, that's been my normal state for decades. And now I get to practice having faith, love, tolerance, and kindness,
and just reworking all those muscles one day at a time. And it's, you know, God's been so merciful to me in this recovery, and I get to remember that and just keep focusing on faith. So thanks so much. God bless everybody in your recoveries. I pass.
Thank you, Robin T. There will be time for two other folks to share after Marilyn T. So that in mind, we're on page 124, starting with paragraph 3, and we read through 3 paragraphs today, if you'd like to have this 3 minutes to study to share. Marilyn, you're up next, and we'll open up the lines again. Hi, Marilyn.
Hi, Melanie. This is Marilyn T. from Northern California, a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. And in reading these 3 paragraphs, I think of something a little different, more towards the story of my life. I remember starting back in 2009 seriously in a program of OA and really being in the first flush of the spiritual experience. And, you know, really having forgave myself and my past in a fourth step, and then, you know, really just not gone on and practiced living in steps 10, 11, and 12. And so I fell away from the program and my higher power, and, you know, lost a lot of weight in the beginning, gained it all back, and just really went back into relapse. And really didn't, on that fourth step, I don't think I really, really let go of the fourth step and what I consider to be my tragic past, which involves other people. But because I didn't, you still relive it if you don't really let it go and you don't get rid of the character defects. And one of it is even just gossiping about yourself. If you retell your story over and over again and never let it go, you never release the past and you never move beyond that to receive the gifts of the program. And it's in quitting telling my story, unless it will serve some purpose, such as being a sponsor. I have to let go of it and I have to strive for a better future. And that's been put to the test just yesterday when I had to let go of a beloved pet because it was the right thing to do. And I think in that, that's what we learn. We are sensitive people, and it takes us a long time to outgrow serious handicaps, such as living in the past, and instead live in the present. And I do joyfully live in the present, and I thank my past sponsor. And I thank my current sponsor, who is now my past sponsor, because that's how we do it in A Vision for You. But I'm very thankful for this program. I'm thankful that I have a meeting or two every day that I can go to live in the moment and to give my troubles and my sorrows and my joys and my pain to my higher power, who gently loves me through all of that. And thank you very much. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Marilyn T. We have opportunity for two other folks to comment on those 3 paragraphs today. Who would like to take those?
Freya H.
Freya, hi.
Kathleen
Laura
O.
A.
And I hear a combination of Kathleen O and Laura A. So let's see what happens. I'll go with Kathleen O and Laura A. Hi, Freya. You go first.
Thank you, Melanie. This is Freya H., recovered compulsive eater bulimic in Colorado. Can you hear me?
I can.
Thank you. I'll try to keep it quick to make time. I just was really struck by, on page 125, the paragraph that talks about, you know, everyone knows about the other's troubles, and that in the outside world, it would cause gossip, laughter, and taking advantage of this intimate information. And what a miracle it is that among us, these are rare occurrences. We do talk about each other a great deal, but our spirit is love and tolerance. And a big part of my disease was this idea that it wasn't okay to be me, that I had to, you know, manage my image, that I had to make sure that I was perceived in a certain way. And just based on the fear that if you found out what I was really like, then you would reject me and you would do the things that it's talking about in this paragraph. You know, there'd be scandalous gossip and laughter, et cetera. And having a fellowship where that is not the case, where we have safety, we have anonymity, those, you know, all these shared spiritual principles is such an amazing gift that I get to practice coming out of my shell, being seen, you know, really being vulnerable, and find that not only, you know, it's not our strength, but our weakness that binds us, that when I share my vulnerability, that's actually when I feel connected to others. That's actually how my higher power uses me for service. So I had a little, my higher power gave me a little glimpse that, like, whatever I'm dealing with right now at this moment, you know, not just my dark past, but whatever I'm struggling with right now, God is going to use me to be of service in some way or another. And what an amazing gift that is. And it's like, and what else can I do but say, okay, God, you know, if that I'm willing to accept where you have me right now, because I trust that it's all in your hands. So grateful to be studying this, and I will pass.
Hi, thanks so much. Appreciate it, Freya H. Kathleen O., you're next. In matter of fact, I see the time. If you would be willing to split that two and a half minutes with Laura, we can get both of you in.
I can certainly do that, Melanie. Thank you for your service
this morning.
Thank you for thank you for everyone on the line this morning and all your great shares. Kathleen O., recovered compulsive overeater in Northern California. And skeletons and secrets. You know, this is about how we find happiness and freedom. It's about the families find happiness and freedom. Those around us are free from our craziness and get some happiness by being around us instead of us making them crazy. And so, you know, it was really helpful to me to hear people sharing their secrets because then it allowed me to share mine. And I found that other people saying things made me realize that I was really no different than anybody else. And it helped me. It helped me recover. And so hopefully, you know, when I say things, it helps other people recover, because this really is about finding happiness in life and having freedom from, you know, the food. And I heard something, you know, happiness, we can't chase happiness. It's like trying to chase a butterfly. If you try to chase a butterfly, it's going to keep flying away. But if you stand still, it might come and land on your shoulder. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Kathleen. Oh, Laura A., your turn. You have plenty of time.
Hi, this is Laura A. from New Hampshire, recovered compulsive overeater. Can you hear me?
I sure can.
Oh, excellent. Okay, I'm just really grateful. I've heard so much this morning, and a ton of stuff has come up, but one, the sensitive people thing, you know, I used to talk about how my skin would hurt because I'd be so uncomfortable just in my own skin and the stuff that was going on. And as I grow in recovery and clean up the past and, you know, do the 10 steps when things come up as soon as I can, like, you know, my skin doesn't hurt so much. And what it means to me is that, you know, I can't deal, you know, everybody around me has their own higher power. I need to pay attention to what's going on with my actions and my thoughts. And the cleaner I keep it, the narrower the path is that what's acceptable behavior and unacceptable behavior becomes so much clearer each time when I'm in my quiet meditation or I'm writing or something, when I tap into my connection with my higher power, that it, you know, we're doing this because we want to be free. And I'm just really grateful that I don't have to dig up past misdeeds, that I can, if someone's doing it, like if I'm in an argument with my husband and if he brings up something in the past, I have the option to stop and not come back with it. And that's the new freedom and the new happiness that I get by working this program every day to the best of my ability. And thanks for letting me share. I pass.
Well, thank you, Laura A. Thank you very much. It leaves us with about a minute and a half, but what I think I'll do is just, if you don't mind, we'll close out this meeting here today on that. We always need extra time to meet and greet those newcomers. So thank you to everyone that shared this morning. Please, I would invite you to join us after the conclusion of the Serenity Prayer this morning for that newcomer meet and greet, and it's going to be right after, like I was saying, the Serenity Prayer. We will now close this particular recorded session of the meeting by reading from the Big Book on page 164, and as I was saying, we'll follow that with a Serenity Prayer. Cheryl A., would you please read? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Yes, thanks so much. This is Cheryl A., recovered compulsive overeater from Brookline, Massachusetts. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.